Praise the Lord. All right. I want to, before you go anywhere, I want the, I know we probably have children's church, but I'd like I count two young men here. Sorry. Not calling you old, but I'm talking about those that are two B's. You know who I'm talking about? I would like for you guys to come up and sit over here. And I'll tell you why in a minute. If you need, I don't know if they want to sit by a lady or not. That's kind of dangerous, but yeah. They're asked to understand and do a lot of things that are weird to them. Our problem is that when we're a little older, we forgot what we went through when we were younger. And it's not bad to bring back your memories. Are we through with the announcements and everything?
I want to do some more announcements at the end of service.
At the end of service. Okay. If you want to go to, you've got a couple you can do back there. Sorry about that. I don't mean to steal from you. Where's he going? I know what he's trying to do. Yeah, he's trying to get out of town. I don't blame you. Praise the Lord. Now, if you'll listen to me, I'll help you this morning. I'm going to try to kind of preach to these two guys this morning. I'll be talking to everybody in here. I want you to know that, but I'm going to try. I believe the Lord's trying to lead me to try to get them to relate with them, and it'll help everybody. That's kind of what I'm hearing in the Spirit this morning. All right, Father, this is your day. To the one who sits on the throne, all blessing and glory and honor and power. This is your day. We need you here today, this morning. We need your understanding. We need your will. And we need your strength and courage to stand up to that and do it. Not as we've been taught by others and by the world, but as we've been taught by you. Control our minds and our speech processes and our thought processes today. Give us ears to hear and a heart that's changeable and moldable in your hands. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory and say it is finished in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father's Day. I want to... The end of all things today will be that our job on this earth was never to be a father, but to please the Father. Now, guys, look at me and listen to me, and I'll pat you on the back at the end of service. Our job is not to be a father. It's not to have a wife. It's not to be a husband. It's to please the Father. When we talk about the Word here in this church, when we study the Word of God, it is not so that we can shine. It's so that our lights will shine on the Father. That wasn't strong enough. Uh-huh. Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. We're the light of the world only in the light of He is the light. And we're reflections of that light. I've said it before. We're a bunch of moonies. We're reflections of the sun. Amen? And the goal of me standing up here and talking this morning is to bring us into the realization that our life on this earth is for one purpose only, and that's to make every day the Father's Day. And everything we do, say, and think be the Father's Day. I'm blessed this morning. My wife has blessed me. My children have blessed me. I even got a call from Iraq saying, Happy Father's Day. Had a call from my grandson saying, Happy Grandfather's Day. Didn't know there was one of those, but I'll take it. I am blessed. Not because of the phone calls. I think the strongest call I had this morning was from my son-in-law and from Iraq, telling me that I'm special enough for him to make that kind of commitment and call. For the acknowledgement that after being booted around and taught every Tom, Dick, and Harry thing in the world, he's finally decided to be my son because of, not who I am, because of what I stand for. What we don't understand in this world is everybody's looking for a father. And everybody's looking to please a father. And a lot of our psychological problems we have is that we don't ever think we achieve pleasing father. And in some cases, that's a basic fact. We can never do enough to please our father, our earthly father. I can look faces here and I can point you right in the, I put my finger right in your face and say you're still suffering from the fact that you don't think your father loved you enough or you could ever please him. Well, I'm here to tell you today that that's why the Bible says for you men especially to leave your father.
Yes.
To leave them. Give up his name. Give up his teachings. Give up his attitude and seek a higher father.
Yes.
That makes sense to you?
Yes.
I was reminded again that we teach, the Bible says unless you become as a little child, you can't enjoy the things of the kingdom. And what I do is I spend my time teaching right here. And there's some that are left to some other teaching because they don't understand. One of the little ones came up to me today, walked right up to my face and said, "Who created God?" Now, to you and I, that's, I don't think, a complicated question, but it is not a little question. It is a sign of a seeking. Not seeking just out of curiosity, even though that may be behind it, but somebody wants to know some truth. Somebody wants to know some truth. And for earthly fathers, the only thing you have to offer the world is truth. You don't have your looks, believe me. You don't have it there. You don't have it in personality. I'm putting us on the same category. I'm not saying you. I'm saying we. We're not going to win any personality awards. I'm not even trying. I gave up a long time ago. I don't care if I'm the father of the year according to the Lions Club or whoever else is out there. I don't care. I care what kind of truth I've been able to implant in someone. I don't even care if they like me. My reward is not giving by people liking me. It's given according to the Word of God by the Father in heaven. That's my reward. You and I, we all seek other rewards. We like pats on the back. Right? We like to be patted on the back, given a little flashlight, whatever. It makes us feel good. That's good. But feel good. I got to tell you guys something. Feel good is not the reason to live. Pleasing the Father, God the Father, is the reason for waking up in the morning and going to bed at night. And I'm sorry to report to you two guys, it'll include homework and chores around the house and getting a spanking once in a while and getting chewed out when you don't deserve it. I know you've never deserved it. But it'll include all of that. It'll, for right now, it'll include you doing things that you don't understand. They don't even make sense to you. You hear me? I happen to know that boys don't particularly like to be kissed by women. Right? But you've got to put up with that. You've learned. Moms like to kiss you. Grandmas like to kiss you. Right? But you put up with those things because it pleases somebody. Right? Isn't that why we put up with things? I remember when my grandmother used to grab me and hug me. Yuck. Isn't it good enough I'm just here? Can't you just tell me you're glad to see me and I'll tell you and we'll just go on? We do things because we want to please, and we do things because it pleases. And I'm going to tell you this morning, very simply, the easiest person, entity on the face of this entire earth is God the Father to please. God is the easiest one to please that there's ever been. We pretty much did that this morning. To him who sits on the throne, that would be God the Father, be blessings and glory and honor and power forever. We've pleased him. That's the first step. According to what we've been studying, the second step is to do his commandments. Not the 10, but all of them that are incorporated from front and back in the Bible. Those are the commandments. Do you know any of the commandments? Does that mean you know them? A little? Or a few of them you know? How about you? You don't know them all? Wait a minute. Let me see something right quick. All right, give me one of your free hands. What does Jonathan say in the morning when he comes in here? How can we know what to do unless we know what it says? Okay. You're on your way then. You're a lot further along than most, I promise you. And that you can attribute to your father and your mother. Your parents. I'm not going to take the credit. You don't learn enough here to go that far. In a born again, and maybe I'm using terms that maybe you don't quite, you understand what born again means? Do you? You need to go home and ask your parents or your grandparents or whoever you think has the information to explain to you what being born again is, because that's another topic we don't want to go into today. But to everybody that calls themselves a child of God, there's an obvious fact. It should never change. A child of God wants to please God the Father. For all of you big kids, little kids, if I don't get anything else across to you, Father's Day is not the day. God the Father's Day is every day, and all our job should be is to please Him. The deepest desire is to please God. When I was a little boy, before I was ever born again, before I was ever a child of God, there was something in me that would make me want to please God the Father even more than my own father. Now, at that time when I was little, my father was just about God. You know that. But there was something drawing me beyond that physical person that I knew as my daddy. That's the Holy Spirit telling us this is the higher calling. The devil has done one major thing in our country that has really screwed us up. And we have in society the idea that a mother can raise a son with no father. And that's why our jails are filling up. We turn up a bunch of... Any of you that have come from a home without a father know how that home is maladjusted. It is not correct. It's out of order. And I am not belittling women when I say that. They do their dead level best. They'll teach the Bible. They'll pray. In fact, in some cases, they are better at it than the father is. If you just put a score to it, many times a mother is better at teaching God than a father. But there's something in a child's heart that desires that father. And when he's not there, it just doesn't turn out correct. As we're learning what the Bible says, and I hope that's why you go to children's church, I hope that's why you pray, that's why you study the Bible, or read little whatever you read, whatever you understand. I hope it's you to understand that the only way that you can truly obey the Father, to please the Father, is know His Word and do it. Not a little bit of it, but all of it. All of it's the problem. Do you understand that for all of the adults and kids alike, all of it's the problem, not some of it. Some of it we just say, sure, everybody knows that. But it's the rest of that that's the problem. That thing that tries to change us. I want to go through with you guys, I don't know if that thing will work after you take your part and put it back together. No guarantees here. I want to tell you what is required by God of these young ones and all the rest of you young ones. What God the Father requires of you to be called Father. You have to be born again. We forget sometimes that Father's Day, the world has turned it into Everybody Day, but God calls a father one that is first recognizing Him as Father and following that lineage. That means I've seen a glimpse in the Bible. I've seen a glimpse in my spirit. I know what God the Father is. I know who He is, and I'm going to try my best to be what He is. That's who can be called a father. Born again, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. A father is one who walks upright before the Father. You know, if you'll go to a parenting class, They'll tell you to walk upright before your children. That won't work. You have to walk upright before your father. You never do anything to please the children. You do it to please the father. Therefore, it'll please the children. Part of walking upright is obeying the commandments. Another thing that a father has to do, is required by the Bible, is to wash his family with the Word. Not wash it with psychology. Not wash it with grace and mercy. Not wash it with trying to please the children or the spouse or the kinfolk, whoever that is. It's pleasing by washing the family with the Word. You hear me? See, Joyce Myers will never be your father. I hate to say this, but I'm stretching my feelings right now. She's a fairly decent teacher. But she can never be a father. She can't even wash you with the Word because the Bible says the Father washes you with the Word. The head of the house washes you with the Word. And I won't just pick on her. Throw anybody out there you want to. Jesse Duplantis can't be your father. Because all he wants out of you is his $18 million Citation 10 jet. That's all he wants out of you. He tell you a joke, give you a little word, say, now, send me my $1,000. I need $18,000 of you to send $1,000. A true father washes his family with the Word, no matter if there's ever any pay or not.
That's right. Amen.
He'll do it from the day that you become the husband and wife until the day you become grandfathers and grandmothers.
Yep.
You'll be washed with that Word. If there's never any recompense, there's never a reward, he'll do it, he'll do it, he'll do it, because the Father is who he's trying to please.
Yes.
Yes. What is required of God, the Father, for all fathers in here, is head of the house, being head of his house. He's the head of the house, he's the head of his wife, he's the head of his children, he's the head of his business affairs. He's the head of the good and he's the head of the bad.
Right.
He doesn't put blame anywhere. And I, as a father, have done this. I've passed blame onto my children and had to apologize at a later date. You don't put blame. In fact, you reject those that are giving blame. You just wash with the Word. He's a decision maker. Can you imagine God the Father saying, I have to make a decision. Let me speak to Mary. Can you imagine that?
No.
I need to make a decision. Before I become smart enough to make a decision, I have to go talk to someone else. Well, how are you ever going to be the head of your house if you spend all your time talking to someone else? How are you ever going to direct people to God if you have to consult with others before it's okay? You have to be a decision maker. You have to be a path maker. You know what that means? That means when there is no way, you have to make a way. Maybe even with a light. Maybe with a machete, maybe with a bulldozer. But when there has to be a way made, the Father makes the way. He makes the way. Doesn't blame his wife or his children for things not moving. As the path maker, he has to be the one using the eyes. You know how he uses his eyes correctly? See, right now, when you want to know which way to go, you go to mom or dad. It's the correct way to do it. But when you get a little older, and all of this stuff starts falling on you, then you need to ask the Father which way to go. You don't ask somebody else. Does that mean you never seek wise counsel? No, that's required of you, to seek wise counsel. But you better go to a father figure while you're seeking wise counsel. Did you know if to be a father required by God, you have to be a lawgiver? Is God a lawgiver?
Yeah.
And are you in His likeness and image?
Yeah.
Then you have to be a lawgiver. That doesn't mean you slam and hit the table and order and command and beat your chest. That won't impress anybody. But you calmly, forcefully say, this is the way it is. I'm not going to argue about it. Then sometimes you have to be a law enforcer. Now to be a law enforcer, you have to know the law. And there is no law without God the Father. God the Father is not going to dictate law to you without understanding. See, that's the coolest part. Law kills. Understanding gives life. Put them together and you have life and death in your hands. Blessings and curses. You can choose because you have the information it takes to choose. When God says, this is what I want you to do, this is not what I want you to do, then He's giving you the understanding of why. When you get older. When you're young, you just obey. Right? All right, let me say it another way. If you don't have understanding, you obey anyway. You obey until you do have understanding. And God's faithful. He'll give that to you. Fathers, you are the seed givers. Our society has taught us that women carry seed, and that is not true. Men carry seed. Men carry the seed. Women, you just have a, you just have an object, an incubator, an egg, but without it, it's worthless. The seed is passed through the father. You are the child giver. Father, you are the child giver. I don't care what our society says. Fathers, you are the child giver. You are the child molder. You are the child maker. To shirk any of these is not pleasing God. To receive any other report is not pleasing God. Fathers, by God's design, you are the protector. You're the provider. You're the defender. You're the sword and you're the shield. You are the one that is not movable. Now, I'm really stepping on some society toes now. But fathers, if you're going to please God, you have to stop being influenced except by God. You're the warrior required by God. You're the fighter required by God. If you're not a warrior and you're not a fighter, you need to try harder to please God. You're the rock. Did you hear me? You're a rock. You're one that cares, too, by the way. By God, you are required to be a rock. And I know that all the women in here want to hear this. By God, you're required to be a lover. And if you don't want that, well, then something's wrong with you. You need to please the Father. By a requirement of God, you're required to be a lover. Now, the reason I wanted these guys to sit here and listen to me for a second, so I hope I can make it simple enough to where we can all understand, is so many of these things are full of conflict in our society. And I want to say to you two guys right here on the front, it doesn't make any difference what you've seen in your home, in your grandparents' home, in your friend's home, in your enemy's home. It doesn't make any difference what you see on TV, in the cartoons, or on the news media. I'm going to teach you the truth this morning. And I'm not going to ask anybody what their opinion is. What I'm telling you about a father is the truth. What I've already told you about a father is the truth. Now I'm going to tell you what you see. Look at me. I'm going to tell you what you see. We're going to get away from the Word of God for a minute, and I'm going to tell you what you see every day. Society says for you to be a father, you have to be there. You can't be an effective father unless you be there. I'm going to tell you what. We live in such a spoiled, rotten society, we don't even know what that means. My grandfathers on both sides of the family were tremendous fathers. And yet they worked, they left the house before the sun ever came up, and they didn't come back until it was gone. The children knew they had a father, but they had to shake hands with him on the way in and out from work. They provided. They required their family to go to church, and they went with them to church. But 6 days of the week, they never even got to hardly see their father. And yet they knew he was there. And they knew what he believed, and they knew what he taught, and they knew what he would say if they asked him. Why? Because their mothers informed them. Their fathers, they'd get to meet their fathers if they didn't obey the rules. He'd take enough time off to meet you at that point of contention. Not for long, just long enough to let you understand, don't do this again. You know what a father, where a father needs to be? His mouth needs to pour out the Word of God. Pour out righteousness and pour out equity. One of the things I knew about my fathers, my grandfathers, was that they didn't treat people preferentially. Well, I may have stretched there. But I know in my heart that's the way it's supposed to be. You know what I'm not allowed to do? I'm not allowed to treat my wife one way and my children another. I can't treat you one way and my wife another. What I require of you, I must require of you. I can't allow my wife to bend the truth while I require my son to tell the truth. That makes me a double-minded man, unstable in all my ways, and I lose the respect of my family. And the only way I can do that is have a visible, audible, personal relationship with God the Father, so that He guides my paths, directs my steps. Society says, be there. Society says, don't be forceful. If you guys want to be honest with yourselves, society tells you, never be forceful. It's a lie from hell. Unless you can look to your Father in heaven and say, don't be forceful. Society says that you are to defend your wife, but never defend the Word. Now think about these things that I'm telling you. They'll try to take your children away if you defend the Word. This is society. This hellish thing we call society. Society tells us to provide income, but not advice. I want your money, but I don't want your opinion. I want your money, but I don't want your commands. Society tells the man to listen and obey. Give no commands. Never shout, only obey. Society says never make decisions. Society says be what your wife and your family needs. Don't consider God and His laws. Society says a husband is to please the wife and kids, but never require anything in reverse. I'll say it to you again. Society says that a husband is never to require any pleasing actions from his wife and kids. So let me sum it up. here it is, guys. This is what you've seen. This is what you've heard. And we're going to mock it a little bit. Hopefully it'll be a little funny. Here's what the Antichrist society teaches. And by the way, here's the confusing part, guys. You never know when this applies. You never know when to please. You never know when to displease. You never know when to be hard. You never know when to be soft. You never know when to be good. You never know when to be bad. But there's rules. We don't know what they are, but there's rules there. Here's what you're supposed to do. Be soft. Be hard. You've got to do both. I don't know when, but you got to do them both. You got to be loud, but you got to be quiet. Just don't know exactly when. Be flexible. Be inflexible. You know when your wife wants you to be loud? When you're trying to do something she wants done. When does she want you to be quiet? When you're doing something she doesn't want done. Society teaches you this nonsense. When are you supposed to be flexible? When people are putting pressure on you. When you're supposed to be inflexible? When your family's decided, let's don't move. It hasn't got anything to do with the Word of God or the will of God. It has to do with trying to keep peace. If I ever was influenced, if I ever had any wrong influence in my life, it was from my family saying, you must make peace. The Bible describes peace as something that I carry, not that I make. And it says that I walk into a situation and we have a discussion and I can leave my peace, but if they reject me, I take my peace with me. I can't make peace. There's a peace that passes understanding. It's from Jesus Christ, not from me. I can't make peace. Get angry. My wife has wanted me to get angry. How about yours? But she don't want me to get angry at her. I don't know when. I don't know how. Come on. I'm not hearing any amens on this. I can tell you that right now. I'm supposed to move mountains. But I'm never supposed to get violent. Don't raise your voice. See, I just don't know when to... I don't know when to do this. Why? Because I'm trying to please somebody instead of pleasing the Father. I'm supposed to work hard, but not all the time. Now I got to figure out when to work hard. And I got to ask somebody's permission or please them when I don't work. I can't do it to please the Father. I got to do it to please somebody else. I got to work hard all the time, but I got to be there all the time. Have you not heard this on television? I got to work hard all the time, but I got to be there all the time. Here's a new one, too. I like this. I'm supposed to work hard, but never stink. See, so people pick out antiperspirants and body deodorant and perfumey and stinky good stuff so I'd never smell like a guy that works hard. And if I work hard and come in and try to give my wife a kiss, she goes, ooh. When the reward should be, man, you smell like your guy's been working hard. Thank you. I'm supposed to work hard, but I'm never supposed to get sleepy when somebody's talking to me. And I'm never supposed to go to sleep until I have permission to go to sleep. I'm supposed to use my hands to change the earth. But I'm always supposed to have a soft touch. Anybody ever see hands of people that work? You're not going to get a soft touch out of them. It's not going to happen. I always deal honestly. Always deal honestly. But never tell anybody the truth. Yeah, that's the way I look at it too, Jonathan. I don't understand it either. I spent half my life being confused by that one. Always be honest, but never tell the truth. Never get emotional. Come on, guys. We're not supposed to get emotional. But I can always make room for my spouse's hysterics. And I never say anything bad about that. Come on, guys. You're hiding over there. Why don't you get over here by Karen and go, see, he's talking about you. He's playing it safe. The reason I'm mentioning these things is because the confusion we have in the head of the household, this is the root of all of it. Because poor guys, and I know wives, you got your problems too, but this is guys' day. We guys don't know how in the world to please anybody because we're given so much information, and most of it's conflicting. If you could just write out a form and explain how, maybe I doubt it though. But I probably couldn't live up to your form. Be ready to make love when my wife says so, but not when I say so. All right, some of you guys put your heads down then. Instant in season, out of season. That's what it's supposed to be. I understand that. The point was not with the guys. The point was with the women. They get out of season. I don't understand that. That's another thing. Women, I got to tell you something. We're always in season. We don't understand when you're out of season. It's your fault, not ours. We're made correctly. I don't know if you know this, but my wife's opinion is always right and mine's always wrong. If we have an opinion, if we both have an opinion, she has the right to one, correct? What I don't understand is mine's never right. I don't understand that. I ought to be able to hit it once in a while. Just once in a while. Husband's got to share everything. Women have their own space. I don't get that one either. I don't understand it. I've had women walk up to me and say, I've got my own bank account, but he don't have his. Sounds equitable to me. I don't believe, by the way, in either one of you having anything. I believe it's one. Did you ever notice that women can shop without the men, but the men can't shop without the women? You ever notice that? Because, see, they got money. I don't know where they get it, but they got money. They can go buy things. But, see, we can't afford what you want. I didn't ever understand that. Either we got money and we can spend it, or we don't. Neither one of us need to spend. You vote. Help me vote on this thing. You want to be a partnership? Let's make a rational decision. We don't have any money. So you can't go shop by yourself. This is a cool part. This is a good one. Husbands, when you're driving, when you're working, when you're doing things, did you ever notice that it's all right for the woman to critique you, but don't reverse it? Don't reverse that. Don't let her drive or work and you critique. All of a sudden now you're criticizing. Don't look at me that way, Gene. You know what I'm talking about. Tell me y'all haven't experienced what I'm talking. Tell me that. By the way, these things that I'm talking about, do they sound fair to you? Do they sound like it would make a good marriage? Maybe it's the reason we have a 50-60% divorce rate. Because we have a double-minded standard in our society. Oh, that's a good one too. When we sit down to watch TV, we got to watch chick flicks. But war movies and westerns, we mock them. Since when do you guys have the righteous opinion? Why can't men have righteous opinions once in a while? I know what makes a good man, and it ain't a chick flick. They know chick flick ever produced a good man. Give them a good war movie. Give them a good Western. Give them a good guys bad, or good guys win and bad guys lose. And that'll make a good man. Never smooching in the back seat and all the tender feelings. That never made a good man. That makes a floor mat. And by the way, it's not right for you to mock movies. My movies. Chisholm is a good movie. It's got good morals. It has good endings and good beginnings. Nothing more... let me preach to her for a second. There's nothing more righteous than a man getting up on a hill under a shade tree looking over what he's done in his life and enjoying it without somebody mocking it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a man getting fed up with wrongdoing and fighting to set it correct. That would be God, would it not? When a movie's got a good moral, a good sound message in it, watch it. Watch it 10 or 15 times. Oh, this is a good one. You all relate to this and everybody else in the world. Guys must leave the commode lids down, but women don't have to lift them up. Tell me what's fair about that. Nobody's going to tell me what's fair about that. It's all right for a woman to get hysterical because she comes in and nearly falls in the water because the seed, the lid's down. But it's not all right when a guy walks in a hurry and kind of splatters the seat because you didn't lift it back up. What are you looking at me like that for? You're not reacting. When do we get our day? I can? I'm going to splatter that seat. We'll see what happens. Go in the bedrooms. See who's got the most room. I got in the shower the other day. I got my end of the shower. She's got hers. And I get in there, and there's 6 bottles of shampoo and conditioner. Just the shampoo and conditioner. Not that special tub of face exfoliator, is that what you call it? And not the special sponge that goes with it, not the rag that you got to have with it, and not the spray stuff that you spray on the shower after you're finished. And I don't remember what else. I just remember the 6 bottles of shampoo and conditioner. And I look over there, and I got... 2. And you know what my 2 are made up of? Everything that's left over, I dump in those bottles so they don't get wasted. That's what mine, I don't even know what they are by now. When she gets through with them, I just turn them upside down and let them drain out. And I'm always full. She got to have her special soap. I get whatever's left, whatever she don't want to use anymore. Sometimes it's Dove, sometimes it's Lava. It doesn't make any difference what it is, I get it. Look on the bathroom countertop. Open the drawer and see the bottles and bottles and bottles of junk. Now, if we reverse that for a moment, she'd start throwing that stuff out. You have too much. You don't need all that. You stink anyway at the end of the day, so he's throwing And I'm not one that understands the clothing part because I probably have more clothes than she does. But I bet you a dollar that's not the way it is everywhere. Our closet is big and the next one's going to be bigger than that. Now, did y'all find any of that comical?
Yes.
But did you find any of it equitable? Well, let me tell you something. It is not in a woman's nature to mistreat, and it's not in a man's nature to mistreat. It comes from outside influence.
Yes.
It does not come from God the Father.
Right.
And I wanted that to be jokingly said. I wanted it. But I also want you to understand that it's not fair. And you are disobeying God when it's not fair. When, When you don't treat people the way you want to be treated, it's against God's commandment.
Right. Right.
And believe me, I know of cases where the husband's been the one that needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying this is, I'm talking about a kind of a general society statement in here. Here's what I'll say to you. What is required of men is absolutely impossible to fulfill. It's not possible for you, for us to do what society asks us to do. You can't work 60 hours a week, take your wife out on multiple dates a week, spend quality time discussing whatever nonsense is quality, being hours and hours and hours with your children, being there with them. This is not possible. You can't walk in as a soft, effeminate man and pat everybody on where they need to be patted and then go out and move mountains and yell and scream at the devil.
That's right.
It's not possible for this to happen.
Right.
I talked to my son this morning. He finally got back from what they call SEER school, which is some survival, escape, and evasion school. I went through it. It helped me a lot. He went through a tougher school yet, and he's found out that it helps him a lot. But you know what he found out when he got home? After the mental torture and the physical torture and eating snakes and rabbits and snake eggs and all that stuff that you have to do, you know what he found out? For the next few days, I better just be quiet. Because when you're in battle, when you're in survival, there's a mental process that begins that women you don't want to enter in. I'm sorry if you haven't been there, you don't understand. But I can tell you when I went through my training, when I got out of there for months and months afterwards, don't startle me. Don't wake me up at night because you're going to get a hand up the side of the head. That's going to be the first reaction. The reason I'm saying this is because men, you need to understand it. Women, please be understanding. We can't be all things to everybody all the time. It's not possible. It's just not possible. When God the Father wrote the Ten Commandments, He wasn't writing what you and I would define as lovely notes. He was writing those things that were required for us to have life and that more abundantly. There's times when I can be very loving. And then there's the rest of the time. Why don't you be honest with yourself, guys? Why don't you be honest with yourself? There's times when that wife is the most beautiful thing on the face of the earth. You just want to touch her. And then there's the rest of the time. There's a time when I want to speak softly to her. And then there's the rest of the time. There's the time when I can stop work mentally. I can not work. And I can just be with her. And then there's the rest of the time. Think about this in relationship with God. There are times when He moves specially on you. And then there's the rest of the time. He's just the Father. He's the guy that makes the laws and enforces the laws. And He tells you the truth, but He speaks law and word to you. Do you understand what we're talking about? I don't thrive on emotions, and I don't. But there's some requirements that my wife needs to give me. Requirements of her. Right? One of them is, sometimes, get off my back. I shared with the guys yesterday morning about this. Last Sunday, we left here. And I'll say this openly, I'll say it for the tape. Last Sunday, there was no place in the world that got a better message than you guys got here last Sunday morning. If you didn't hear it, you need to go get the tape and hear it again, this time with a pure heart. Because it was a tremendous message. And I was wiped out. And we went to lunch. That means I got this little jagged edge. The energy's out. The adrenaline is gone. And I'm kind of on a downer for a minute. That's why most of you, when you go to lunch, I get a Coke and swig three before you can turn around because I need a sugar and a caffeine rush. I need something to pick me back up because the energy's gone. My wife was not doing anything wrong. But she was doing this a little bit. And I said, I've heard all the preaching. I want to hear them preach to me now. And I did it at the dinner table for those that were there. Get a few Cokes in me, a little sugar, a little caffeine. She can say it now and it won't have that effect. Is it okay or am I the only one wrong? Do I have a little grace and mercy coming from you? Or do I have to do this impossible thing to be that perfect person all the time? We pulled up to a gate the other day, and I'm out there trying to push this coat, and she's yelling at me. And she's yelling, and she's yelling, and there's people around, and they're listening to her yell, and they're watching me not get. And I finally said, "Quit your yelling at me. Don't you yell at me anymore." And she says, "What's wrong with you?" Nothing that you stop yelling wouldn't heal. When you stop yelling, it's healed, it's gone. She had given me the wrong instructions. But I never heard, "Oh, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong instructions." Now, believe me, I do the same thing. I'm not just pointing at her. I do exactly the same thing. What we need to do is, do we want to walk in the image and likeness of God the Father, so that I can be the Father and she knows what I'm up to and she can actually have the Father's heart and we can treat each other righteously? When I need a little washing of the Word, she can wash me of the Word. When she needs it, I can give it. But I know that it's my responsibility to keep that action going. If she decides not to wash me with the Word today, it doesn't relieve me from my responsibility. By the way, can I say something to you? I'm going to say this, and some of you will like it, some of you will understand it, some of you will hate it because you're not listening. But do you understand, women, we can never please you? Ever. Because you are unpleasable. Now, let's turn it around. Let me get the woman's shoes on for a second. They hurt, so I'm not going to leave them on long. You're not the only one unpleasable. Me too. I can't be pleased. That's why we don't want to try to please each other. We want to please the Father.
That's right.
Therefore, we please each other.
Yes.
There are things in my wife that I couldn't, my dad would say she wouldn't be satisfied with the front seat in heaven. And guess what? I have that same thing in me. Only God the Father can make those things work out where they're non-important. A little conflict once in a while, that just breaks up the plaque, the cholesterol. It's all right, a little conflict. Get your blood going once in a while. It's good for you. Enjoy the moment. And by the way, women, men, enjoy the moment. We like a little conflict, a little war. We just don't like all that garbage that follows. Just get over it. Let's fight a little bit and get over it. Then we'll move on because our goal is the same, is it not? Every husband and wife should look at each other and understand your goal is to die with each other. Not for reasons to divorce. We can enjoy the little conflict. We can enjoy the moment, but I will never get so mad at you that I want separation. Ever. The process is in the making up, not the war. If we care for our wife, if we care for our families, if we care for our lives, and one of the things that hit me hard this morning, I did not birth Rob, but I have become his father. So it's greater than you suspect. We have to please God. My goal, if I have to make a new one today, is I never please my wife. Is it all right for your father to look at God the Father and say, "I never want to please Jonathan"? If you're listening, that's the only answer. If he tries to please God all of his life, will you be happy?
Yeah.
I think you will. You may not know it right now, but you will. You will. One of these days, you're going to say, "I got a good father." He spent his life trying to please God. There's nothing more that you can instill in your children for one day to ask them to say that about you. My dad spent his life trying to please God the Father. And you'll never gain any more respect than that alone. Never try to please your family. Never try to please the church. Never, ever try to please society. Never. And never talk your family into the kingdom. Lead them in.
Yes.
Never talk your family into the ways of the kingdom. Lead them into the ways of the kingdom.
Yes.
Now I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures and then we're going to be through. Here's commands to please Father and prosper family. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Anything out of that order displeases God. Anything out of that order steals your prosperity. God is the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of man. Man's the head of woman. Do I understand that? No. No, I don't understand that. But you know what? If it pleases my Father, I'm going to do it if it cripples all of Congress. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If I go away from that word, Jesus is the word, then I give up way, truth, and life. Ephesians 5, 22 through 27. That first one was 1 Corinthians 11:3. This is Ephesians 5, 22 through 27. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Who is the Savior of the body?
Christ.
All right, let me read it to you again. You're half right. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Did I tell you that husbands are to be defenders? Then I'm also the Savior of her body. If I see her doing something wrong with her body and I speak to it as God would speak to me, am I the Savior of her body?
Yes.
Now understand, Jesus is the Savior of the entire body. The body of Christ, the body of women, the body of men, the body of children. I understand that. But don't... A lot of times when we use that statement that I just made, we use it to diminish the position of the Father. And if you do that, you do wrong. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Here is the command of the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. What's your goal, husbands? Sanctify with the washing of the word. What does sanctify mean? Set her apart, not put her down. Right? Set her apart. You know, I just get tickled. I've been told 1,000 times, if I've been told one, that I don't treat women correctly, why don't you talk to my wife? And I don't mean to be rude, but just shut your mouth. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to talk to my wife, probably much more bold and strong than you, and see if I put her down. Have I ever? Yes. Am I sorry? Yes. But don't you point your little finger at me. You've done the same thing. That's the nature of man, and the nature of woman is to screw up. God's nature is to make it right. Do it better next time. You judge a man by the fruit, not by what you immediately see or hear. Isn't that the Bible? All right, then that's what you're required to do. Here's why you want to sanctify, set apart, set on a pedestal. You say however you want that makes you happy. But this is why. That he may present her to himself. Now we went to Jesus and the bride. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Yeah. Well, now you're just asking too much. I didn't write that. By the way, I think it's pretty cool that I'm supposed to wash her. That sounds just a little bit erotic to me. Sounds like a little fun. This is not all harsh and hard. Did you know you can compliment your wife with the Word of God quicker than any other way? Quicker than any other way. Because after the first time you tell her you love her, it's downhill from there. It just starts getting old. Well, it just begins to sound the same after a while. So you think of new ways. Well, now that you've done that new way, you're responsible for another new way. And now they require of you all new ways. Boy, you're really in trouble now. When my parents had 65 anniversaries, how many different ways can you say happy anniversary? Well, you can do it 65 times. My dad was he considered himself to be an artist in writing cards and that kind of thing to Mom, and she got tons of them. He was good at it. If they had 65 anniversaries and 65 Christmases, she probably got about 180 or 200 cards. And all of them with just this little hen-scratch writing, just all over it, telling her how much he loved her and how much he cared for her. I don't think she got tired of the intent, but I've read the cards. They pretty much all said the same. So what are we looking at, the words or the intent? It's the heart that your wife wants to see. No, let me say, wives, to you, it's the heart that you should want to see. It's the heart. That's what God wants to see. That's what you should want to see. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This is a faithful saying. How many of you want to be leaders in your home? How many of you want to be leaders in the church? Well, I didn't write this either, but God's got some strict requirements for you then. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop is an overseer, a shepherd, a pastor, but it applies to your home. He desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. What does that mean, perfect? Well, let me submit to you, it is one without somebody blaming him. So maybe part of that is put back on the one that's doing the blaming. Blameless means innocent. That's what blameless means. It doesn't mean he never did anything wrong. It means he's innocent in his heart. He must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. Temperate. What does temperate mean? No huge swings. That's right. Of course, I like my term. It's temper and he ate. So, yeah, he's got a temper and he likes to eat. That's... No, she's right. No huge mood swings. He's pretty much the same yesterday, today, and forever. He must be sober-minded. What does that mean? Sober-minded means not drunk. Okay. That's part of it. You can't be sober-minded if you're drunk. I would agree with that. Not full of foolishness. What would be foolishness? Thinking thoughts you shouldn't have and acting on them. Sober-minded means, my wife shared a sober-minded thought with you recently. She said, your decisions affect generations. That's a sober-minded thought, a sobering thought. You don't have to, joking is okay once in a while. I'm not talking about it, but I'm talking about 80 to 90 to 95% of your thought processes is on what am I doing that's affecting other people. What am I saying? How's it working out in people's lives? Of good behavior. Hospitable. You want to hear my definition of hospitable? It's I'm glad to see you when you come and I'm glad when you leave. I make you feel comfortable while I'm there. But if it gets too long, then I make you feel comfortable and leave it. Now, is there anything wrong with that? See, all of a sudden, what do you mean by that? I mean the same thing you mean, you just didn't say it out loud. Able to teach. You know what the best teaching method in the world is? Living it and washing with the Word. Now, by the way, Chuck, that's a good thought. If you're washing with the Word and you're not living it, you are not sanctifying anybody. You're polluting them.
That's right.
Right. Want to be a bishop? Here's what it says. Not given to wine. Not violent. You know what not violent means? That's right. Not having anger rule. Violent would mean if this boy was afraid of me, because of actions that I had taken, that's a violent man. I had a cousin one. I said, still got a cousin. I got a rule. Never hang around him. Never hang around him. Why? Because he will hurt you. Am I afraid of him? No, I'm not afraid of him. But I've learned something. If he don't hurt you, he's going to hurt himself. So why not just let him hurt himself and then I'll get hurt. Stay away from him. And he's fractured his head. He nearly cut himself in pieces with a boat that he was driving. Explain that one. I mean, over and over and over. So you just say, you know what? I'm going to go where it's safer. The reason I put it there is that's a violent man. He didn't mean to crack his own head, but it would have been mine if it had been his. It's a violent man. Well, let me say it another way. An accident prone. A guy that's always having accidents. That's a violent man. It's a guy you stay away from. Don't ride with him. Don't ride a bike with him. Don't go hunting with him ever. Well, he's never shot anybody before. Come on, man. He wrecks everything he touches. Don't hunt with him. You ever watch Tool Time? He's known by first name at the emergency room, right? That's a violent man. He's going to hurt himself or he's going to hurt somebody else. Kind of like kitchen, carrot in their kitchen. Something's going to happen. Not violent, not greedy for money. Not greedy for money. Now, some religions take that as meaning that money's bad. Is that what that's saying? Means money's not your God, right?
Yes.
But gentle. Not quarrelsome. By the way, what does gentle mean? When a tow truck comes out here and picks up your dead car, he does it gentle. But by George, it moves. In other words, when something needs to be moved, it moves. That's gentle. You don't wreck it. You don't blow it up with dynamite. You don't burn it down. You don't get so mad that you lose your mind. That's what gentle is. You make things happen without destroying. Not, say it again. Only from God. I don't know how to do it. I know God tells me how to do things sometimes, and I go back and go, wow. But rest of the time. Not quarrelsome. Not covetous. What's covetous? Wanting what others have. Wanting it so bad that I'm not satisfied with what I've got. That's a better part of that definition. There's some people that just live because they want what they saw somebody else have. My granddad a long time ago said to me, he said, I am so glad I don't want everything that I see. I think he was talking about his wife, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Listen to me. You listen to me for a second. It's not enough to obey your parents. You have to give them respect. That's what that just said. You want to ever lead your family? You ever want to do anything for God? You've got to learn something. It's not enough to obey the letter of the law or exactly what they said. You've got to do it with reverence or respect. Now let's turn our eyes from each other and look at this way. It's not enough to begrudgingly not commit adultery. You do it because you want to please him. That's reverence. Does that make sense? So I'm not going to beat you up and rob you for your money because I might go to jail. I don't do it because it might displease him. That's reverence. That's obeying the commands with reverence. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? I can't tell you. I'd say this, 95% of every minister, pastor, supposed leader of the church, they have absolutely no control of the house, their own house. No control at all. That's why they lose their children. And if you haven't been around church, you may not know this, but the favorite advice is never go out with a PK, preacher's kid. Never marry them, never date them. They're dangerous people. Never heard that before? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the house that they live in is out of order. Believe me, I've got numbers of cousins that their parents are pastors. And I ain't going to tell you those stories. Hebrews 13:17. Did I just describe to you some governmental things about levels of authority? All right. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. There's been some of you I've talked to that what you wanted to tell me was mind your own business. Well, according to the Word of God, I am. I'm trying to watch out for your soul. Now, this is not soul like a dog soul. I told you, those words can get confusing. But this means your spirit man, that eternal thing that's going to go on forever. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. The rest of that story says I'm going to give an account for that if I don't do it. So who do I fear most? You or God? All right, let's always keep it that way. I want to please God, not because I'm afraid of Him, but because I'm afraid I might not be in His good graces. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying God's standing on the edge of heaven ready to kick me off if I make a mistake. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying out of reverence, I don't want to displease Him. I'm afraid of displeasing Him. I don't want to do that. Not because I'm afraid of Him, because I respect Him. I reverence Him. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. What in the world am I saying there? I'm saying that if I do this because it's mandated to me, it's only going to cause grief. If I do it because I care, that's joy. Husbands, wives, children, this is not a matter of competition. It's not a struggle for superiority or position. Can I just tell you something point blank, whether you like it or not? Anybody that's struggling for position is already inferior. That's the position you've taken. Does that make sense to you? Help me say it differently if you don't understand. If I'm struggling for position, if I'm struggling to be the head of the house, that means I'm not the head of the house. If she's struggling to be equal to me, that means she's not equal to me. My wife does not struggle for equality. She already knows who she is. She doesn't argue with me about things that I say and yell and scream and fuss. She doesn't do that. Why? Because she already knows who she is. Wives, if you're struggling with this word, it means that you're not who you should be. If you accept who God says you are, you won't struggle with this word. Husbands, you shouldn't struggle with this unless you're inferior. Then you should just accept it as a way of life. God says so. Man, I wish I could. The simplest message I could ever preach in the world is God says so. Not me. Quit fighting with me. That means you must be inferior with me or you wouldn't be fighting with me. If you got a beef, take it up with God. He'll get it square. And He won't make you feel bad while you're beefing. Not a matter of competition, struggle for superiority. It's already been decided by our Father. It's purely a matter of this. Who do you want to please, yourself or the Father? Great benefits to pleasing the Father. Only temporary good feelings to please the flesh. Is God perfect? Is Jesus perfect? Is the Word perfect? Is the way that the Word says to go perfect? Then if there's any imperfection in our lives, guess who's to blame? Us. So when I get up here and I read the Word to you, should you get mad at me? Or should you get mad at the imperfection in you? You think I get tired because I pour myself out to you. No, I get tired because I'm struggling with the Word just like you are. But I am not going to fight with the Word. There's a difference. I'll struggle to get it straight in my life, but I will not fight to keep it from being straight. Our thoughts and our ways are lower than His. Is that correct?
Yes. Amen.
Then why don't we just choose His?
Amen.
Can I tell you, let me go back to some of the comedy that I just covered. Women, men, children. If you're arguing with your parents, you're already wrong. Why? Because Dan said so. God says so. Husbands, if you're arguing with your wives, you're wrong. You're supposed to be the way maker, the rock. You say it and you stick by it. Wife, if you're arguing with your husband, you're wrong. Not because I said so, because God has decided. No competition. Let me ask you this. Let's just, inequality. Would God put this word to Patrick and Donna so that He could put Donna down?
No.
Can you ever picture God doing that?
No.
So if we fit the picture of God, we're going to get the picture of God. In other words, we're going to understand better. We're going to feel better about ourselves. We're going to feel stronger. Well, Stan, how in the world, if I submit to my husband, can I feel stronger? I don't know. Why don't you try it once in a while? And see if you don't feel better about it. I'm going to explain from my, as me as a bride of Christ, when I submit to Christ, I feel better. That's all I can tell you. I can report. I can't explain. One of the things that I have noticed, even as late as this last week, when I'm going to have to break a relationship, when people start turning their back on the Word of God, they get nuts. You can't understand them. You can hear them, but you can't understand them. I was in the presence of a joyful, laughing woman this week that the heart was revealed that she hates the world. And it's showing more and more every time I meet her. It's got to the point where now there's personal insults and I'm going to have to break the relationship or I'm going to tear her from limb to limb. And I'm going to do it righteously. This is not one, this is many. You've been in the presence of men and women alike. When they turn their, you can see them turn their back on God. Why? Because of Stan. You don't turn your back on God because of Stan. That's not possible. Because that would make me bigger than God, and if that's the case, you're a fool. But when you turn your back on the Word of God and you start breaking relationship with those that care for you, you're going to go nuts. You're going to end up with an ankle bracelet on your ankle because you slugged your wife and stole your grandbaby. We've seen all of this kind of nonsense. You fought the police. And you went out and you told everybody when the world was going to end. And you got mad at God because it didn't end on the day you said. These are people that we've had in this church. Somebody comes to you and says, several somebody's come to the church. One even kisses your ring and bows to you. One says, I don't have a head, so I want you and the church to be the head. And then you turn your back on that and you can't understand why you lost your brains and your head. You lost your head. You can't understand squat. You're still, listen to me, Christian people, you're still to blame. It's all your fault. If you don't believe it, you just ask them. They're not going to take any blame. They're not going to admit they're wrong. They're just going to end up, my goodness, walk with me and see where they end up. I don't have to report, just watch. I don't understand it. And can I share something with you? I don't ever want to understand it. I don't want to understand what drives people crazy. I want to understand what makes them smart. That'd be God the Father. That'd be His, according to what we've been reading, it'd be God the Father giving Him worship and obeying His commands. That's it. There is no other way. Does the Bible also say there's no other way? Yeah, but how come my... For those of you that dearly love Joyce Myers, I've been trying to listen and understand. And all I ever hear is a lot of who she is and what she's been through, and here's my story. And lecture, very little word. And this is the word that I've heard this week. Do what feels good. Did I not hear that? Multiple times. Quit working so hard and do what feels good. No, that's not in the Bible. You got to rest. You got to rest. You got to take a day off. Scripture, take a day off. If you want to go to church, go to church. Lie from hell. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Are you listening with spiritual ears? Are you listening because flesh is tingling flesh? I heard this. Some people write books. You read those books, you know they don't want to talk about it. Talk to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've had the life experiences. If you'll do what I tell you to do, it's not word. It's not word. If you're getting your washing of the word from that, I would suggest that you turn it off until somebody gets their life squared away. How about it? You like your toes stepped on? I won't pick on him. You think I'm a little mad at somebody that wants a Citation $10, $18 million jet so they can go in all the world and preach the gospel and Jesus didn't have one? Man, I get tired of rich ministers making their money off of flesh. One of the biggest ministries is comes from a message called Woman, Loose Thyself. And tens of thousands of women show up and whoop and holler. And all they're doing is getting their flesh tickled. Where's the word behind it? Where's the word? I don't feel like I'm ministered to until the word touches me. That doesn't mean thrills me. It means it attacks me a little bit. And if all you're looking for is a flesh feel, you're going the wrong way. You know when it feels good, Patrick? You know when I get excited? That's when a word like this has come forth and it's kind of tenderized me. You know what I'm tenderizing? That's electric current going. And it's not fun. But I go home and I yield to God and all of a sudden I get a feeling, man. This is good. You're doing the right thing. And then I can go out the back and I can say, you're worthy, Lord. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for caring so much for me that you touched me in my heart. You broke some of that hardness. You gave me some understanding. You gave me some ears that clarify that I can see better than I've ever seen before. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy of me living a life for you. The Father's Day. The Father's Day. Who's it about? How I feel or how He feels? If I feel bad, is He not worthy? If I don't like what I'm hearing, is He still worthy? That excites me. I don't know if it does you, but I don't care if it's sickness. The thing, when it really fell on me, Patrick, was that day you were here sick. And I knew you'd been throwing up. And I said to you, when you look in the commode, you see Jesus. You remember me saying that to you? Yeah. It hit me a lot harder than it did you. Because all this stuff has come out of that very thing. Don't make any difference what I see. Don't make any difference how I feel. I see Jesus. And Lord, you're worthy of me correcting it. You're worthy of me living better. You're worthy of me trying to live better. Amen? Amen. And there's no weapon formed against me if I see Jesus that can prosper. Amen. If I see the problem, it'll get me.
Amen.
It'll get me. If I see the solution, Jesus, I've won already. I see Jesus. There's nothing can attack me and make me feel bad.
Amen.
Come on. Can I tell you a little scripture? For those of you that are hurting in here this morning, there's nothing new under the sun. And there's nothing that's not common to man. Can I just be the anti-effeminate minister for a second? You got a problem. Big, hairy deal. It ain't new. It's what every man, woman, and child has suffered all their life. Just let's go on. Let's toss it off to one side and say, I see Jesus. Jesus, you're worthy of me acting better and doing better. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about that. It was my father. He was just complaining up a storm one day. And my dad was a faith giant. He could preach up a storm. But this time he was complaining. I said, Dad, there's nothing new under the sun. So you don't have a special problem. Now, you want to hurt somebody, tell them they don't have a special problem. Because everybody wants to be special through pain instead of special through worship. I told my grandmother one time, she chewed my granddad out like you wouldn't believe. I was a teenage boy. And I walked up to my grandmother and I said, I called her Nanny. I said, Nanny, you ever talk to me like that and you're my wife, you'd be dead or living by yourself. She wouldn't speak to me for months. Was I right or was I right? But it didn't make her feel good. Are ministers' jobs to make you feel good?
No.
Or to put you in the right position? What will, then the position will make you feel good. Not what the guy said, the woman said. Doesn't make any difference what they say. Just shove you in that position where you're, what is the old saying? You're under the spout where the glory comes out. You've heard that before, haven't you? Push you into place where you're under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. The Father's Day. That's tomorrow. That's the next day. That's every day that we live. It's the Father's Day. Our job is to please Him. Your job is to please God the Father. Your job is to please God the Father. Amen? When your mom and dad are fussing, tell them, you know, you guys really need to please God. See what happens. Maybe we all, I need to give everybody. When you run into a big fight, just say, you know, your job is to please God, not to win. I don't know if I'd like to be told that, but go ahead. If you see me in a fight, tell me that. Let's see if it helps. I'm not so weak that I get broken easy. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me. All hearts clear? All right. Father, what I pray from you, what I ask with a pure heart, is that you take what I think that you've given me this morning, filter it, process it where it turns into pure, righteous energy for your kingdom. Amen. That any hurt that's there, it's destroyed by the word, the washing of the word. That any contention, any strife, any pains and any hurts, they're washed away with the word. With our desire to please you, they're washed away. And for those ministries and for those people that we mentioned this morning, Lord, our desire is that they serve you and not themselves. Send your Holy Spirit, not to destroy, we know that wouldn't happen, but to heal and to mend and to turn that energy into power for the kingdom of God. Amen. Touch, heal, convict, chastise, and change. Not because I said so, but because you said for you, if we ask in agreement, we would get it. Now we've done that in Jesus' name. We got it. We'll see the change. In Jesus' name. Amen.